A minority of Christian thinkers and activists have had to watch helplessly for a century as a spiritually lawless and geopolitically dangerous nation of Christ-rejecting Jews rose to power over the Mideast and the Western world. The fuel for Zionism's meteoric rise is almost entirely the aura of chosenness and divine protection mistakenly drawn from the Bible. A similar aura was exploited in the 16th century by Spanish conquistador Cortes. With his tiny army, he approached the vast and sprawling empire of the ancient Aztecs and their crown jewel, Mexico City. Knowing something of Aztec beliefs, Cortes shrewdly announced he was Quetzalcoatl, God incarnate, coming to the Aztecs in fulfillment of Aztec scripture. Montezuma, king of the Aztecs, virtually gave him the keys to the kingdom. This resulted in Montezuma's death and Cortez's conquest of Mexico. For more than a century, we have seen a similar strategy from a small minority of dedicated and devious Jewish Zionists. Exploiting Christians' belief that Jews are favored by God, they have conquered the dominant culture, morality, and power of the previously Christian West. Many frustrated Christians, watching this happen, are attracted to a seemingly perfect solution. It is to persuade the church and society that God is now done with the Jewish people. The Bible once encouraged the chosen people mystique, but now the physical chosenness of Jews has been replaced with spiritual chosenness, both Jew and Gentile. All who trust Jesus are now just as much God's chosen people as were the Jews. Galatians 3 is quoted as proving God's replacement of Jews with Christians of all races. Those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham, blessed with Abraham the believer, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, offspring, heir according to the promise. Galatians, indeed, seems to present the perfect way to remove a very destructive, civilization-destroying cult of Jew worship with one that is broad, wholesome, truly spiritual, and Christ-exalting. But is replacement theology really taught by the Bible? Actually, replacement theology is a half-truth. It correctly says that all who trust Jesus are now the Israel of God. But it is wrong in its claim that by such enlargement of Christ's kingdom, Christ has done away with his covenant to the Jews. It is untrue in its claim that he no longer has a unique destiny for Jews that include repentance of a minority remnant of them at his second coming. Paul says in Romans 9:4 that in the present tense, theirs is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Paul goes on to say that God is very capable of regrafting unbelieving Israel back into their native stock, which is Jesus. That's in Romans 11, 2:15, 23, and 24. That will indeed happen, as the prophets predicted, for all Israel shall be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. The Bible is not as simplistic as replacement theology would have us believe. Far too much scripture prophesies the conversion and regathering of Jews to be tossed aside by the supposed spiritual interpretation of Galatians. God has an enormous investment in Jews of the past and an amazing intention for them in their future. The Bible emphasizes this throughout. Our duty as Christians who must resist ascent of Babylon the Great is to embrace this continuing Jewish destiny while honoring its powerful restraints, which demonstrate the conditions of a holy God. The laws of God's covenant with Jews are explicit in Scripture and are more than adequate to criticize, restrain, and understand the modern state of Israel. These restraints include: 1. Not all who are of Jewish descent are Jews. It says that in Revelation 3:9 and Romans 9:6. Wicked Jews are cast away. They are not of Israel, Paul says in Romans 11:2. Yet a remnant shall be saved, Romans 11, verse 12 and 28. Number 2, the church owes no debt of gratitude to most Jews of the Bible, only a small minority who were faithful. Paul says Christ will honor the piety and sacrifice of the righteous fathers by someday bringing salvation to all Israel, Romans 11:26. Another restraint is this: evil Jews in Israel are subject to Gentile and Christian criticism because they violate God's law as well as universal laws of justice and morality. Such criticism, of course, is not anti-Semitism any more than it was anti-Semitism to the ancient prophets John the Baptist and Jesus. Number 4, Scripture is emphatic that God's holy land cannot be occupied by a nation of Christ-rejecting Jews at any time in history. Number 5, apostate Israel is not the apple of God's eye, but Babylon the Great, continuation of the archetypal horror of the Old Testament. Another restraint, very powerful restraint, is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Scripture clearly portrays the counterfeit first national return of Jews to Palestine. This is the return we are now witnessing. It fulfills Scripture, but not the hundreds of prophecies of return after the second final return in repentance, which is to come. Number 7, to criticize evil Jews and their leaders is not to curse them, but to actually bless them, hopefully leading to repentance. It is not anti-Semitic, but actually philo-Semitic, to warn them, tending to make Jews less abrasive to the world and thus less prone to hatred by the Gentiles. We best bless Israel then, not by moral and military support, but by sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus with all Jews. No one is more greatly blessed than by hearing the message that Jesus loves them, and if they repent and trust in Him, will share eternal life with Him forever. Number 9, the Jerusalem, which Psalms tells us to pray for, is not Sodom and Egypt, which is how God and the angels view the city of Jerusalem today, and that's found in Revelation 11:8. Instead, we are to bless the invisible Zion, Christ's kingdom of heaven, that Jesus says is within you. From the above, we see it is not necessary or right to replace Jews from Christ's continuing plan in order to hold back Zionism. Just as Jesus and the prophets had plenty of biblically sound reasons to criticize evil Jews in their times, Christians have the same resources today. Unfortunately, replacement theology alienates evangelicals from vital truth about the threat of Jewish supremacism. Evangelicals instantly recognize replacement theology as boasting against the branches, a mortal threat to God's future for the Jews, a threat Paul warns us Gentiles from ever making. In this claim that replacement theologians are boasting against the branches, the evangelicals are correct. It is hard to imagine a greater boast than saying God has taken away Israel's unique covenant and given it to everybody. It is no accident that when both Zionists and evangelicals want to vilify the so-called epidemic of anti-Semitism, which they say is also invading the church, their first target is replacement theology. In contrast, both ADL and Zionist evangelicals are apprehensive concerning the balanced biblical view and eschatology found at truthtellers.org. They do their best to ignore us. In imitation of the biblical prophets, we provide salty, penetrating rebuke of evil Jewish leadership. Yet we never lose sight of the fact that despite the deepest Jewish apostasy, Christ will be glorified as the ultimate Redeemer through final Jewish repentance. This will glorify Christ to an extent perhaps only equaled by the power of his death at Calvary.